Isaiah chapter 40 this morning. We're going to read one verse today, Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 28. And as our custom is, when we read one verse, I'll read aloud the first time through, and you'll do silently. And then we'll read together in unison the second time through. That's Isaiah chapter 40, beginning at verse 28. Please stand to your feet this morning as we read the Word of God together. Isaiah 40, verse 28. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. Let's read together now. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for today and the opportunity that we can have to hear the Word of God preached. Thank you for this scripture text that we read today. Thank you for being our God. Thank you for loving us. Now, Father, we ask this morning that you'd anoint our pastor with thy Holy Spirit power to preach to us. Help us to hear what the Word of God has to say today. Help us to be obedient to it. And Father, if there's one in this room today that does not know 100% sure that they're going to heaven when they die, that today they would settle that before they leave. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated this morning, let me remind you once again, if I may, to turn your electronic devices to vibrate or to off. That will help us tremendously this morning. Also, not to get up and move around as the message begins and just sit and listen carefully. One more thing also I might add, this is the flu season, and if someone does not want to shake your hand, please understand that today. Just smile and say hello. You don't have to shake anybody's hand if you don't want to. And if you're sick, stay home. Don't come in here and give us all what you got, okay? We understand that. There are a lot of folks watching us today on the web service. We have that available to our folks who are sick and cannot get to church. Now, if you're healthy, where's the camera? If you're healthy and you're sitting home watching this, don't get too close to the television set. God's going to drop that TV right on top of your foot and give you a reason to be home. But for those who are sick and need to watch it, that's available to them, please. You don't ever want, it's not the same. You want to be here in church and meet with folks and everything else. But it is the flu season, so if you don't want to shake anybody's hand, you don't have to. You can just smile and wave at them. I try to keep my hand in my pocket. I can't stand not shaking people's hands. But we got to be careful in things, so please understand that today. But again, thank you for being here this morning. I'm going to talk to you this morning about the relationships that God has with his people. In the Bible, there are several different types of relationships described that God has with mankind. And I want you to listen to me very carefully. But God's desire is to have a right relationship and a good relationship with all people. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, the Bible says, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Book of 1 John chapter 2 says that Jesus, he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God's desire is to have a relationship with every human being on this planet. We're standing in the Heathrow Airport in London one day on a trip. I think we were either going to India or somewhere. And as we stood in the airport there in one of these busy corridors of this great international airport, I was just amazed and all the different people who were there. Culturally, their dress, the color of their skin. There was just literally thousands of people. And I was standing there with Pastor Rule from Pleasant Valley and Chico. And as we watched these people go by, I said, Rev, look, the world is walking past us today. And every nation, every nationality, every group of people you could possibly imagine walked past us that day. And I thought to myself, and God loves every one of them. And God wants to know every one of them. And listen now, and He wants every one of them to know Him. But we're going to talk about different relationships. Some of these relationships with God and mankind, everybody knows. Some of them, only a few will know. But it is not God who excludes people. God sets a certain standard for certain relationships with Him. And if a person desires to know God, they have to accept His terms for that relationship. We are not of the liberal stripe here that believe that all are God's children. No, all are not God's children. We'll show you a verse specifically that teaches that in just a moment. Doesn't mean God doesn't love everybody. Please listen now. But not everybody's a child of God either. There is one relationship that we know that everyone has with God, everybody. And it was mentioned in Isaiah 40 and verse 28 when it calls God the Creator. The relationship of which I speak this morning is the God-Creator-creation relationship. Creator and His creation. Everybody has that relationship with God. Everybody is a creation of God. Do you realize that? Now, I understand. Wait a minute, Pastor Johnson. Got you right there off the bat today. There are people who don't believe in God. Guess what? That doesn't mean He's not there. It's fascinating to me how some would say, well, I don't believe in God, so that solves a lot of problems. I always tell them, well, He must be very disappointed. Close your eyes makes the light go away, but that just means you can't see it. It doesn't mean it's not there. Deny that there's a God doesn't mean God goes away. He's still there. We just deny His existence. To deny that we are a creation of God, to say that we're an evolutionary process, that we started 200 trillion years ago with some primordial ooze somewhere, and somehow or another electrical impulses and chemical impulses and all the environmental impulses that would come together to create the miracle of life happened by accident. And somehow or another, in that primordial ooze trillions of years ago, something that was nothing became something that grew eyeballs and legs and tails and fins and then crawled around and lost the legs and tail. Tell me you couldn't use an extra tail right now. You got an armload of groceries. You walk up to the front door. Tell me a tail wouldn't come in useful right at that moment. Just turn around, whoop, open the door, and in you go. And the tail fell off. And then all of a sudden, we are an evolutionary process. Wrong! We are the creation of God. Not just that, how we got here. Friend, you are the creation of God. Psalm 139 says, we were fashioned in the lower parts of the earth, speaking of the womb of our mother. And how God put us together. That wasn't an accident. It wasn't just a natural process of the seed of man and the seed of woman and oops, there's a human being. God put life there. God created life. God had every human being on this planet knows and must know the relationship of creator creation. We are all the creation of God. Yes. May I tell you something this morning? That's why He has a right to tell you what to do and not to do. That's why God will send you to hell if you don't get saved and let you go to heaven if you do, because you're His creation. That's why one day, listen now, all of mankind will come to a day of examination and judgment before God. Everybody. The reason for judgment is not only to resolve the issues of who pays for what and the consequences for sin and wrong and the reward of judgment. Reward and judgment for doing right, but it is also to let all mankind know in great moments like the judgment days, to let everybody know that's God. He judges you. We don't judge God. God judges us. We don't sit in examination upon, well, this is what my God is. So you don't make Him. He made you. You are His creation. He created you. He has that relationship with everybody. God, the Creator, and all of His creation. Now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. And there needs to be a great awakening in this country where people wake up and realize we don't make God in our own likeness. We don't make the God as we understand Him. We don't make a God as we know Him. We don't have our own particular God, and you have your God, and she's got her God, and he's got his God, and everybody has their own God as they understand Him. See, that makes us the Creator and Him the created. No, God is the Creator of the ends of this earth, the Bible says, and we are His creation. Turn to Romans chapter 1, just real quickly, please. You'll see that in our society today, this situation that we are in, this thing we face today, in our society of man's injustice to man, the devaluation of human life, the debauchery of perverted acts and living, all of this is a product of the fact that we who once knew that we were made of God turned from that. Romans chapter 8 is a great passage. It starts in verse 18 of Romans chapter 1. I'm sorry. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. It's a great passage that starts at verse 18. It goes all the way to verse 32. We won't go that far. But I want you to start at verse 18. Romans 1, 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Look at this statement. Who hold the truth in unrighteousness. They have a truth, but it's truth in what's not right. Verse 19, because that which be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. Verse 20, for the invisible things from the, next word, creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. Just hold on a second. We still have lights and you can still hear me. Can you still hear me? Raise your hand in the back row if you can still hear me. All right, fine. We don't have PA. You can still hear me. Believe me, I got a big enough mouth to carry it. Thank you. Don't amen that, but just say yes. Look at verse 20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, not evolved, made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. But read on. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. Their foolish heart was darkened. Read. Professing themselves to be wise, they became even more intelligent. Now they became fools. Well, how did they do this? Verse 23. And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to the uncleanness, to the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Verse 25. See the verse. Who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the... Does your Bible say creator with a capital C? Good. Who is blessed forever and amen. And by the way, you go on down the rest of those verses, my friend, you see the devolution of mankind. How man has slid down the long ladder to the debauched lifestyles of our day today, because it started when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. And they turned this process around, and the creation now makes the created of God. They create their own God. No, we are the creation of God. He made us. He put life in this body, and he can take it out. And God gave us this life, and God made us, and God fashioned us. He is the creator. We are his creation. Every human being knows that. That's why God can send people to hell. He made them. And if they turn from him, he has the right to say, but you are still my creation. It's not an unjust God, friend. It's called God. We don't question what he does. We just understand that's how it is with him. See, we're talking about God, people. Big G God, not little G God. Big G God, who just a moment ago flashed the power in this building. And some of you thought, my VCR just went out. Now I got to go home and reset all the microwave ovens in my kitchen. Why do we have more than one microwave oven? 2, 3, 4, 5 microwave ovens. We got all kinds of electronic stuff. Every time the power flickers, it takes us 2 hours to get all the stupid clocks reset again. And we think, oh, what does all that mean, Pastor Johnson? Just God every now and then reaching down saying, boop, boop, just trying to show you who put the sunshine out, who put the power in the juice, who did everything else, just to teach us a few lessons. Creator, creation. So look here, you can go to church like this and get up and walk out the door and say, I don't buy that kind of junk. Doesn't make any difference. He's still God. He's still the creator. You're still his creation. See, everybody knows that relationship. But you see, friend, you have to understand something. Since we are, not if, since we are his creation, he has the right to do with us as he deems best. Now turn to Galatians chapter 3, please, in verse 26. Here is a relationship that not everyone knows but can know. Galatians chapter 3, you're in Romans. You go to 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, then the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 3 And look at verse number 26. This is the relationship of God and His children. Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 26. For ye are all children of God. Qualification. By faith in Christ Jesus. See it? So we're not all children of God unless there's faith in Christ Jesus. So Pastor Johnson, but what about the Hindus and the Muslims and the Jews? What about those people out in the jungles who don't know who God is? What about them? You go back to Romans chapter 1, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. Every religion today that is not a Christian religion was founded by somebody who knew the truth and rejected it. And others came to their day and they embraced the truth that's unrighteousness. And they turned the truth into a lie, and that's why they got where they are. But they can still make their choice, just like you'll do this morning. You're going to make your choice on whether or not you want to be a child of God before you leave this building. To be a child of God, the Bible says, requires faith in Christ Jesus. That's what the Bible says. Now, if we can't accept that, it's because we can't accept what God says. That goes back to the creator creation situation. Then one day we'll stand in front of Him and we'll say, well, I just didn't embrace that salvation through Christ alone thing because I didn't think it was fair to the Muslims. Well, if you're not a Muslim, don't sweat it. Number two, don't stand up for somebody that has nothing to do with you personally. Let's just admit it. It's a facade behind which people hide. See, salvation's for you, friend, and salvation is for me. And God presents salvation to every person on this planet. Jesus, the Bible said Jesus is the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but also for the sins of this whole world. God came and sent Christ in the likeness of Himself, His Son Jesus, to die for us on the cross, to pay for our sins, and went to the grave and rose again 3 days later and made the way of salvation. That's why Jesus would say, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It's got to be faith in Christ Jesus that takes you to the next level of your relationship with God, which is God and child relationship. John chapter 1 and verse 12, but as many as received Him, Jesus, to them gave He power, authority, to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Don't believe in Him, believe on His name. Trust in Christ for their salvation. Friend, look at me. The God-child relationship is for those who will come to Christ and trust Him as their Savior. Otherwise, that salvation, they exclude themselves. Yeah, but Pastor Johnson, have you ever tried to talk to people of other religions? Yes. Yes, I have. I have witnessed to Hindus and to Muslims. I have witnessed to Jews. I have witnessed to people of all types. I have witnessed to atheists before who deny the existence of God. I remember a man I was speaking to one day, and he looked at me and he goes, well, Reverend, that always bugs me. I hate when people call me Reverend. The word Reverend in the Bible means one who instills fear, and I scare the fire out of some people, but that's really not my job. Bible says in Psalms, He is Reverend. That's God. Don't call me Reverend. Call me Pastor or His Holiness or however you want to do it. It works fine with me. But don't do that one either. But the truth of the matter is, I'm talking to this man and he said, well, Reverend, you have to understand something. He says, I just don't believe in God. I looked at him and said, you're not that smart. Pardon me. I said, you're not that intelligent. You'd have to know everything to know there's no God, and you don't know everything, much as you like to think so. You don't know everything, so you don't know that there is no God. That's an arrogant statement, sir, isn't it? He goes, I think you're the one who's being arrogant right now. I said, no, sir, I'm being truthful. You don't know enough to know everything, so you don't know there is no God. At very best, you're a skeptic. At the very worst, you're agnostic. And the bottom line is, you're dumb. It's just how it works out. Because you're missing Him. He loves you. Christ died for you. God and child relationship by faith in Christ Jesus. Get it? Now then, if you're here this morning and you have trusted Christ as your Savior, you are a child of God. You're not a child of God because you're a member of this church. You're not a child of God because you declare yourself to be a Christian. You're not a child of God because you've been baptized and live a good life. You're a child of God because you placed your faith in Jesus Christ for your salvation. When you did, God claimed you as His own. You were born again into the family of God. You were birthed by the blood of Jesus Christ. You were adopted into the relationship of Father and Son. He took you, friend. He claimed you as His own. Wouldn't it be great if everybody was a child of God? I'd like to say it. I wish I could tell people everyone's a child of God. It sounds so politically correct and so nice and sweet. You tell people that they're not if they're not saved, and folks will say, who are you to exclude me? It's not my calling. It's God's calling. God said we are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Did you know something? Once you are a child of God, you are always a child of God. Whether you were brought into the family of God by spiritual birth or you were adopted in, either way, you become God's child. There's no unbirthing in the Scripture. There's never been a record of anyone, every human being, ever being unborn. Die? Mm-hmm. Unborn? Never. And when Christ said you must be born again and tied our spiritual birth to our physical birth, He showed us not only that salvation is not of our works, but of God's work as your mother brought you into this life without any works of your own. It's also the fact that once you are born, my friend. God and His children. Are you a child of God this morning? There's another one. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. On a few occasions, we have had to go to the mission field and to third world countries. Most places to which you will go have some type of orphanage. There are places in this world, in Africa, for example, the AIDS and the malaria epidemic is so strong there. There are literally hundreds of thousands of children with no family of any kind because no one lives past 40, 45 years of age in most of these countries. So they have no grandparents. There's no such thing as a grandparent there in most countries. And they have no parents or they're both about to die and the children have no families. And they just turn them loose to the streets. We got 5-6-year-old children roaming the streets of Africa taking care of their brothers and their sisters. We're in the Philippines. The church we were at in Manila, there's a large church there, and they had an orphanage. The pastor was showing us the buildings and walking us around, and he said, would you like to see our orphanage? And we went into the orphanage, and there weren't a large number of children in there, but there's a little boy in there named Tattoo. And he said, this is Tattoo, and he put his hand on this little boy's head. He said, we don't know that that is his name because no one told us his name when they dropped him off. They just dropped him off, and he did not speak, so we just gave him a name. He was one of the sweetest little boys you ever saw in your life. And I was sitting there waiting to preach in the meeting, and they had all the little orphan children sitting on the front row of the service. And I sat down in a chair. As I was looking over my notes, getting ready to preach, I felt a bump on my arm, and I looked over, and there was a little Tattoo. And he leaned up against my arm and he just looked up at me. And I said, oh, son, don't look at me now, please. Turn your head and look straight ahead like that. And I turned his little head like that and he looked up at me. I said, you keep that up. I'm putting you in a suitcase and take you home with me now. You come on. When we were in Mexico at an orphanage down there, my wife struck up a friendship with a little girl there. And she's such a sweet child. They don't have any parents, but they can know God as their Heavenly Father. Child of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, another relationship quickly, please, would you look? 2 Corinthians chapter 6, look at verse 17. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 17. Wherefore come out from among them and be a separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Verse 18. And will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. This is a level within the child of God relationship. It's called a son and daughter relationship with their father. This has nothing to do with salvation. This has something to do with what a child is willing to do and become to enter into yet a closer relationship with their heavenly Father. What is that, Pastor Johnson? Verse 17. Wherefore, come out from among them and be a separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and shall the separated life. See, I love that little boy, that little Tattoo. I've asked about him, and a few times that I've called, and I've emailed back there since we left. When we go back to Mexico, we'll be back to the same place again this fall for a few days of preaching. There's some children in the orphanage there, and we brought them all. One year we went down, we bought Redding, California t-shirts for them. We brought them all these t-shirts, and there's a couple of little boys. One was called Big Manolo and Little Manolo. And that Big Manolo boy, he's still there now. He's in the college and training for the ministry. I stood up to preach that Sunday morning. He was sitting over here on my right, and I recognized him, and I waved to him and went over and shook his hand. And these kids have become kind of special to us in life. But you know something, dear people? There's no one as close to you and means as much to you as your own children. Can I ask you a question today? Are you close to all your kids? You love them all, don't you? All of them. But are you close to all of them? Do you have a good relationship with all your children? Or are there some who are prodigals? Do you love a prodigal less or more? You love them the same like you love all your kids. As much as our children like to think that one is a favorite over the other one, for a parent, they love all their children. The love you have for your children should be the same. Now, your attention and your affections may be different. But if you have a prodigal child and they walk away from you, are they still your children? If they break your heart with their actions and what they do, do you still love them? But their life has changed the closeness that you have with them. Agreed? Our Heavenly Father here tells us that He would love to be in a father-son, father-daughter relationship with us. It's not about being a child of God or being saved. This is about another level within being a child of God that, look at me, but you have to be willing to separate from that which grieves your Heavenly Father to be close to Him. Well, Pastor Johnson, God does not play favorites. You're wrong. You're wrong this morning. Just as a parent loves all of their children, but when that child, one of them turns against what they were taught and against what is right, you still love them unconditionally. But you cannot be as close to them. Do you know why? Their actions have severed the closeness. And they'll blame us for us and tell us we're not loving and tell us we don't care. And we're very loving and we care very much. But know this, when the prodigal left his father's house and went off to the far country and wound up in the hog pen, the father didn't go over and beg him to leave and the father didn't go over and drag him out. The father stood at home and did what was right and gave that boy a chance and a place to come to when he could get it right. And when the boy was willing to stand up and arise and leave the hog pen and return to his father, the father met him on the pathway and fell on his dirty neck and kissed his ruddy cheeks and welcomed him back home. But the son had to separate to be received. There is a relationship with your Heavenly Father this morning you may not know. And it has nothing to do with your salvation. It has nothing to do with whether or not He loves you. It has everything to do with what your attachment is to this world in which you live and how much of this world is in your life and how much of this world you live by and how much your life is contrary to what the Word of God says. He says, come out, come out, come out from among them. Be as separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing and I will receive you. You shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. I'll be a father unto you. More than just God and child. Father and son. Father and daughter. Look at me. Don't you understand that world that you think you can't turn loose of is robbing you of the next step of closeness to your Heavenly Father? When I started going to a biblical church back in the 70s, I was a liberal-minded, hippie-thinking fool. I said fool. When I went into church and that preacher began to preach, I needed to come out from the world and put aside the world's music and put aside the world's attitude and put aside the world's thinking and put aside the world's style of dress and put aside the world's conduct and put aside the things of this world and don't think like the world, don't act like the world, come out from among them. I thought to myself, wait a minute, this guy's crazy. Churches today are literally inundating their churches with the world. And bringing the world into the churches. When the Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. We're supposed to come out. We're not supposed to bring it in. We're supposed to keep it out. Listen now, listen. This liberal-minded hippie kid from the 60s is sitting there in a church service listening to the guy who I have become. And I would like to say this morning that the man made his case so well, did such a good job in making his case by the Word of God that I did what the Bible said, and that's the number one reason. It is one of the reasons, but it wasn't the number one reason. When I decided to clean up my act and get life right and get where I'm supposed to be, start doing the things I'm supposed to do, I'd like to say that it was because he made his case by the Bible. And he always did, by the way. In a biblical church that preaches biblical separation will make their case by the book. And then you're going to have to deal with that one, pal. But look at me. But the thing that won it for me and that made the difference in getting this liberal-minded hippie boy from the 60s straightened out was when I understood it was costing me the next level of relationship with my God. Because he said, I will receive you when you come out, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, and I'll be a father unto you. I thought, well, this isn't about a stupid article of clothing. This isn't about a church service on a Sunday night. This isn't about some kind of music. This isn't about that at all. Hey, this is about getting closer to him, the one who loved me and gave himself for me. And since that day, dear people, you look at me. You see, it doesn't. Christian, get off the what's wrong with this and what's wrong with that junk. How about this? What's right with it and how does it help me get closer to my God? You'll be a father, he says. You'll be a son and a daughter. You'll go from that child of God relationship to an even closer step in your life. And there's nothing this world affords that's worth paying the price of not being closer to my Father. There's one last relationship, and this would be the message tonight. Do you know in the Bible, four times in the Bible, it says that there were people that were the friend of God? I thought it was just two, Moses and Abraham. And it'll be the message tonight about how to be a friend of God. Abraham, God said of Abraham, he said, Abraham, my friend. A friend of God. Family member, but a friend of God. A friend of God. Do you see this morning how much he desires a closer relationship with you? How much he desires to draw even closer to him? All you have to do is go to Genesis 3 and see the fall. People choosing to disobey God. Who is it that seeks them out? It's God. Adam. Adam, where are you, Adam? Did you eat of the fruit? Did you eat of the fruit? Adam, where are you? And they're hiding over in the fig leaves of false religion. And they're hiding themselves from God. But it's God who's seeking them out. It's God who wants them back. But he wanted to do more than just reclaim them. He wanted to restore them to that place where the voice of the Lord God would come and walk in the garden in the cool of the day. He desires a closer walk. Oh, just a closer walk with thee. He even desires to be your friend this morning. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. A friend that sticketh closer than a brother. His child, definitely. His son or daughter, hopefully. But to become his friend. You can name that many people that have lived on planet Earth since the day of creation that God said was their friend or they knew were the friend of God. Do you desire today a closer walk with him? A closer relationship, as it were, with your God today? I can assure you this, it's his desire. Let's bow our heads for prayer, please.